Place your phones or audio connections on mute until such time you are presenting or asked to speak. When addressing the board, please announce your full name first and be sure to speak clearly. Please do not place your phone on hold or leave your audio unattended. If you need to leave the meeting, please hang up or disconnect your meeting web link, and then dial back and click the web link posted on the agenda to rejoin the teleconference. Thank you, everyone. So we have just about a half a minute here. Everybody hear me? Shake your head, yes. Okay. All right, welcome to San Diego Mission Academy. This is Friday, June 3rd, 2022 at 2 o'clock. This meeting is held in compliance with Assembly Bill 361, which allows flexibility in the Brown Act teleconferencing procedures as addressed by the board under Agenda Item IE. The public is encouraged to participate in the meeting telephonically by dialing the conference line or by clicking the web link listed on the posted agenda. The public may submit written comments to the board by emailing publiccomments@sdmissionacademy.org. The public may also provide comments telephonically during the public comment section of the meeting agenda. All right. So as required by state law SB 126, this meeting will be audio recorded and posted on the charter school website. So we're going to open and call the meeting to order, and we'll establish a quorum. We'll do a roll call. Carol Stanford, present. Claudette Beck?
Present.
Mike Malloy?
Present.
John Dortch?
President.
Barbara Willigram.
Present.
So we have a quorum. So now we're going to do the Pledge of Allegiance, and I'm going to ask Claudette to do that for us, and everyone else go on mute.
All right. Please stand. Put your hand over your heart. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, so now we're going to go into staff introductions. And we'll start with corporate officers, Mr. Graham.
Well, thank you very much, President Stanford, and board members. Good afternoon. My name is Jeff Brown, Chief Executive Officer. Thank you.
All right, thank you, Mr. Brown. Jerry Vincent.
Yes, thank you. This is Jerry Vincent, corporate officer.
All right, welcome to both of you. School staff.
Good afternoon, Lindsay Reese, Area Superintendent.
This is Jenna Eunice, Principal.
Good afternoon, Board. This is Jeff Martineau, Vice President, Charter Relations.
All right, School Legal Counsel, then.
Good afternoon, all. Bill Thompson, attorney for the school.
And any advisors who are supporting agenda items or presenting?
Good afternoon. This is Geeta Sharifi, CFO with LLAC.
And hi, this is Michelle Lopez, counsel with LLAC.
All right. And any other staff who wishes to introduce themselves? All righty. So we are going to go to 1E. Adopt resolution continuing Board of Directors' authority to hold virtual or teleconference meetings pursuant to Assembly Bill 361. Jeff Martineau.
Thank you, Board President Stanford and board members. In your board packets, you will find the resolution for continuing Board of Directors' authority to hold virtual or teleconference meetings pursuant to Assembly Bill 361. Assembly Bill 361 was signed by Governor Newsom on September 16, 2021, and allows boards to continue to meet remotely as determined by majority vote during states of emergency. As long as the board makes required findings every 30 days, that meeting in person would present imminent risks to the health or safety of attendees. It is recommended the board make the required findings by adopting the enclosed board resolution. Are there any questions from the board?
If there are no questions, can I have a motion and a second to adopt 1E?
John Dortch moved.
Barbara Willebrand second that.
All right, John Dortch has moved. Barbara Willebrand has second. So we'll vote. Carol Stanford, aye. Claudette Beck? Claudette? Okay, Mike Malloy?
Aye.
John Dortch?
Aye.
Barbara Willebrand.
Aye.
Claudette, are you on?
It's on, but it didn't.
I don't know.
Okay.
Can
you hear me now?
Yes, we can.
Can you hear me now?
Yes. Can you hear us?
Okay.
All right. Yes. So it's unanimous.
Carol, I think you need an aye from Claudette.
Okay, let's do it again, Claudette, one more time.
Aye.
Okay, so it's unanimous, 1E. All right, we'll work this out. We're going to go to 1F. Approve agenda for the June 3rd, 2022 regular public meeting of the Board of Directors. Let's have a motion and a second to approve 1F.
Barbara Willebrand will second that.
Mike Malloy has moved. Barbara Willebrand has seconded. We'll vote. Carol Stanford, aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Mike Malloy?
Aye.
John Dort?
Aye.
Barbara Willebrand?
Aye.
So 1F has been approved unanimously. So we're under 1G. Approved minutes of the May 16, 2022 regular public meeting of the Board of Directors. I assume everyone has read this. If there are no corrections or questions, can we have a motion and a second to approve 1G?
Barbara Willebrand move.
Mike Malloy will second.
Okay, so Barbara Willebrand has moved. Claudette Beck has seconded. So we'll vote. Carol Stanford, aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Mike Malloy?
Aye.
John Dort?
Aye.
And Barbara Willebrand?
Aye.
So 1G has been approved unanimously. So now we're on to consent agendas, consent items. All items listed under consent agenda are considered by the board to be routine and consistent with approved policies and practices of the charter school. The board will be asked to approve all of the consent agenda items by a single vote, unless requested by a board member to be discussed and considered for action separately. It's A. One, the board will be asked to accept the uniform complaint report for the 21-22 school year, and there are zero complaints received. Is there anyone on the board that would like to table this or have further discussion? And if not, can I have a motion and a second that we approve agenda items A1?
Mike Malloy makes a motion.
Barbara Willebrand, second. Mike Malloy has moved. Barbara Willebrand has seconded. We'll vote. Carol Stanford, aye. Claudette Beck.
Aye.
Mike Malloy?
Aye.
John Dort?
Aye.
Barbara Willebrand?
Aye.
So, A, consent agenda 1 has been approved unanimously. That's 2A1. So now we're on 3, public comment. At this time, members of the public may address the board on any item within the subject matter jurisdiction of the board, whether or not the item is on the agenda, by dialing the teleconference line or by clicking the web link listed on the posted agenda. The time allotted per presentation will not exceed 3 minutes, except in a case where a member of the public utilizes a translator, in which case the time allotted will not exceed 6 minutes. In accordance with the Brown Act, no action may occur at this time, but it is the board's prerogative to hold a brief discussion, provide information to the public, provide direction to staff, or schedule the matter for a future meeting. Is there anyone on the line from the public who would like to introduce herself or make a comment? And if not, Shelley, has anyone contacted you?
Hi, this is Shelley Sands from the Charter Affairs team, here to report that there were no members of the public who submitted written comment or have requested to speak.
Thank you, Shelley. So now we're on 4, school reports and information, principal update, Jenna.
Hi, this is Jenna Eunice. Thank you, President Stanford, and everyone on the call. It's nice to be here. As Area Superintendent Reese gave an overview of the local control and accountability metrics at the last board meeting and has additional data and funding on the agenda to share today, I will just give a few brief updates. So since July 1st, 2021, we have had 20 San Diego Mission Academy graduates. Our enrollment as of June 1st, 2 days ago, was 170 students. To provide context, we started the year on 7/1/2021 at 126 students. The enrollment of 170 is currently the highest it has ever been for SDMA. Our master agreements to secure enrollment for the 22-23 school year are out for signatures now, and we do anticipate that 95% or more of our students will be returning with us for the next school year. Our new school year starts on July 1st, coming up very quickly. We recently completed our state testing window for Smarter Balance assessments in English, Language Arts, and Math for 6th through 8th and 11th graders, the California Science Test for 8th graders and 12th graders, and the English Language Proficiency Summative Exams in reading, writing, speaking, and listening for all English learners in grades 6 through 12. And I am beyond pleased and just so proud of my team and happy to notify you that SDMA's participation rate for these assessments was at or above 95%. Last month, Area Superintendent Reese and Charter Liaison Kevin Ogden and myself drove to Warner Springs to attend and present at one of their board meetings. I presented the San Diego Mission Academy 21-22 LCAP data through March, as well as student success stories, including one Warner Springs student who was referred to us. She state tested, finished her credits, and is expecting a baby in the next 2 weeks. So we love that we were able to assist her in finishing her high school diploma despite unforeseen challenges, and that she can now move into the next phase of her life with this educational foundation. It was mentioned also by the board president there, our authorizer, that he also was very happy that he's able to refer students to us and that we're able to take them, meet them where they're at, and then, you know, guide them to where they need to go. Ms. Reese, myself, and our LLAC charter support team also met recently with the charter authorizer liaison to review academic performance funding and budget. As you know, San Diego Mission Academy opened its virtual doors in 2019, and as a result of startup costs, in addition to hold harmless funding legislation, we were not able to grow and thrive financially as we would have planned and we would have liked. So the charter liaison was pleased with the plan that was presented by Ms. Reese and our LLAC liaisons, and we plan to have SDMA financially stable and moreover growing and thriving in the years to come. So those are some of the most pertinent updates for next school year. We are proud to be completing our Trauma Resilient Educational Communities accreditation and are continuing to prepare our report and data for the Western Association of Schools and Colleges, or WASC, accreditation visit happening in February 6th through 8th, 2023. So we are looking forward to our best year ever, and that concludes my report.
Thank you so much, Jenna. That's really interesting. I love all the schools you go and talk to and visit. And since I got to travel and visit some of them, they're really, really wonderful people. All right. Any other comments from the board? If not, let's go into report on mathematics placement results with Lindsay.
Thank you, President Stanford. The board will find this policy on page 21 of their board packet. The California Mathematics Placement Act of 2015 required our board to adopt a fair, objective, and transparent mathematics placement policy before the beginning of the 2016 school year. The policy addresses students entering ninth grade and includes several required elements to ensure equity in student achievement, including the following. Considers multiple objective academic measures, includes at least one placement checkpoint within the first month of the school year to ensure accurate placement and to permit reevaluation of individual student progress, requires an annual examination of pupil placement data to ensure that students are not held back disproportionately based on their race, ethnicity, gender, or socioeconomic background, requires an annual report to be provided to the governing board, like we're doing now, and offers clear and timely recourse for each pupil, their parent, or legal guardian who questions a student's placement, and requires a policy be posted on each school's website. For the 21-22 school year, our math placement for ninth graders fell into three categories. 16.7% of ninth grade math students placed in remedial math courses, 64.6% of ninth grade math students placed in Algebra 1, which is considered grade level, 18.8% of ninth grade math students placed in geometry or algebra 2, which is considered above grade level. This represents a significant improvement from math placement last year. 83.3% of ninth grade students are at or above grade level in mathematics, which is impressive considering we continue to evaluate this data and report to the board next year pursuant to the board's policy. Thank you.
Thank you, Lindsay. Those are some impressive scores. Anyone else on the board? Comments? All right, then we're going to move into C, the LCFF Local Indicators Report for school year 21-22. Lindsay.
Thank you. The board will find this policy beginning on page 23 of the board packet, not policy report, wrong word there. All schools in California must measure and report on key local indicators, which are based on 5 of the LCFF state priorities. We use the CDE self-reflection tool to determine if the performance standard was met or not met. The results will be uploaded to the dashboard this fall. San Diego Mission Academy met the criteria for the following indicators. Priority number one ensures that all students are assigned to appropriately credentialed teachers and that all students have access to their own instructional materials. We are pleased to report that we have met the criteria for this priority as evidenced by 0% total teacher misassignments and the fact that every student has access to standards-aligned instructional materials. Priority number two ensures we are making progress implementing state academic standards and that we are providing professional development to our teachers. Overall, the school scored at a 3.98 out of 5, which is full implementation of adopted academic and or curricular frameworks. This is a 0.16 increase from last year. We are pleased to report that San Diego Mission Academy met the criteria for this priority as well. Parent engagement is the focus for priority number 3. Using the self-reflection tool, the school is rated on a scale of 1 to 5 in 3 key areas: building relationships, building partnerships for student outcomes, seeking input for decision making. We will discuss this in more depth when I review the annual survey results next. In brief, for each of the 3 key areas above, parents overwhelmingly responded favorably. Thus, we are pleased to report that San Diego Mission Academy met the criteria for this priority. Priority number 6 evaluates our school climate. According to annual survey results, 100% of students reported that they felt safe at school, and 92% reported that they felt connected to an adult at the school. This is a significant achievement in light of the fact that many of our students have had traumatic experiences during the pandemic and in their previous schooling experiences. We strive to create an inclusive, collaborative, trauma-informed environment where all students can thrive. Due to the positive results of the school climate survey, we are pleased to report that San Diego Mission Academy met the criteria for this priority. And finally, priority number 7 measures progress, ensuring all students have access to a broad course of study. Due to the nature of our independent study program, students are able to access the courses they need to graduate. We also provide specific support classes for EL students and students with exceptional needs. Students are placed in courses to make sure that they not only earn their high school diploma, but are ready to attack post-graduation goals. We're happy to report that we have met the criteria for priority number 7 as well. This concludes my presentation on the LCFS Local Indicators Report. I will now open it up for any questions or comments from the board.
Thank you so much, Lindsay. It's good to see that we've met all those things. These are really crazy times, and it's really good to see that you've got the backs of these kids. They have people they can trust and take care of. Any other comments? All right, we're going to move into the school survey report, D. Lindsay.
Thank you. I had to let my dog in, so forgive me. I'd like to direct your attention to page 40 to 66 of your board packets. Each year, we conduct a school climate survey aligned with our LCAP goals. This year, some additional survey questions were included on social-emotional learning, academics, future goals, and civic engagement. This year, 35 students, 7 parents, and 13 staff members completed a survey. We look forward to increasing that participation rate each year so that we continue to have more and more reliable survey feedback. To highlight a few of the important data points, 100% of students feel safe, 80% feel connected to their teachers, and 94% are satisfied with the amount of time they spend with their teacher. 91% of students feel connected to the adults at our school. 97% felt like there was an adult they could go to for help, and 100% felt the school encouraged their progress towards graduation. The parent survey included questions about background information, safety, connection, time, interaction, communication, engagement, and metrics for building relationships, student outcomes, and seeking input for decision making. I would like to focus on survey data related to priority number 3 of the local indicators report. Remember, the local indicators for priority 3 are broken down into 3 categories: building relationships, building partnerships for student outcomes, and seeking input for decision making. So first, with regards to building relationships, 100% of parents felt that school staff can build trusting and respectful relationships with families. 100% felt the school created a welcoming environment for families. 100% felt the school supports staff to learn about each family's strengths, culture, language, and goals for their children. And 100% felt there were multiple opportunities for two-way communication between the school and families. For building relationships or partnerships for student outcomes, 100% felt the school was making progress providing information and resources to support student learning and development at home. And 100% felt the school was making progress in implementing policies or programs for teachers to meet with families and students to discuss student progress and ways to work together to support improved student outcomes. For seeking input for decision making, 100% felt the school made progress in building the capacity of and supporting our principal and staff to directly engage families in advisory groups and with decision making. 100% felt the school made progress in building the capacity of and supporting family members to effectively engage in advisory groups and decision making. And 100% felt the school provided all families with opportunities for input on policies and programs and implementing strategies to reach and seek input from underrepresented groups in the school community. Lastly, staff members were surveyed on their background as a teacher, school climate, academic, social, emotional learning, communication, engagement, leadership perception, and professional development and partnerships. A few insights. 100% of staff reported feeling safe at school. 100% feel connected, and 100% felt like their voice was heard and welcomed. 100% of staff felt like school leaders were empathetic with students and staff. 100% felt encouraged to share ideas and best practices. And 100% felt school leaders support risk-taking and innovation. Those are some pretty important metrics considering 13 staff members took this survey, that 100% of them feel welcomed and safe and connected. This valuable school data will be used by the school leadership team to drive instructional and climate goals for the new school year. This survey data is essential to our cycle of continuous improvement, and we look forward to partnering with students, parents, and staff to continue to improve our school. This concludes my presentation. Are there any questions or comments from the board?
Thank you, Lindsay. This is Board President Stanford. I think we're going to grow a lot this year. I can see it coming. All right. Anybody else? Any comments?
I think the staff survey was significant. And I've been in many districts where that's not the case. Yep. So I have applaud you.
Thank you. I agree. We are very lucky to have a very tight and cohesive staff on the San Diego Mission Academy team.
That's great. All right. Anybody else? All right. We're going to go down then to E, Annual IRS Form 990, Return of Organizational Exempt Forms from Tax and the California Return for 2020 is filed. Gita.
Hello, Board. This is Gita with NLAC. So the Form 990 was sent to the full board prior to it being filed. The deadline was May 15th. The 990 form was on extension because the school always has to finish the annual audit before they can start working on the Form 990. So just informing the board that the tax return Form 990 was filed timely for the school. And if there's any questions, I'll be happy to respond. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Gita. Any questions or comments? All right, let's go down to finance update again with Gita.
Thank you, Board. So on page 68 of your PDF packet, you'll see an update for Hominy line of credit. This document is updated as of May 23rd, 2022. It reflects the line of credit for the school that shows $1 million right now. The minimum and the current rate for the interest rate, which is at 4.5%, it was updated since I last reported by 0.5%. Also, it reflects the balance on the line of credit. If the school has drawn from the line of credit, which is zero, the school has not drawn from the line of credit, as well as the covenant ratio, which the school has been meeting in order to continue to tap into the line of credit if necessary. So those are the requirements of the bank, and the school has met them always. The only change is just the current interest rate that is prime plus 0.5%, and it was increased by 0.5%. To increase in the prime rate. And this is for your information purposes. If there's any questions, I'll be happy to respond. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Gita. Any questions on the finance update? All right. Then we're going to move to G, Area Superintendent Performance Review, Evaluation Tools for School Year 22-23. It's a first read by Jeff Martineau.
Thank you, Board President Stanford and board members. In your board packets, you will find the draft for the 2022-2023 Area Superintendent Evaluation Tool for your consideration of use for the 2022-2023 school year. As indicated in the Area Superintendent Evaluation Policy and Procedures approved during the 2020-2021 school year, the attached draft Area Superintendent Evaluation Tool has been developed and reviewed in collaboration with the corporate officers and Area Superintendent and is provided to you for additional feedback and recommendations. The evaluation tool is comprised of four focused areas of performance: focused area one, governance and board relations; focused area two, school, family and community relations; focused area number three, business and finance; and focused area four, instructional leadership. These four areas help drive school improvement and student achievement, develop a positive relationship between the board and area superintendent, demonstrate accomplishments of the charter, and sets annual priorities. At this time, I welcome any input or feedback that the board may have. Thank you.
Thank you, Jeff. We look forward to doing that review with Lindsay in August. That's great. Really enjoyed it. Any other comments? All right. We are going to move into a public hearing. And I'm going to open the public hearing, and I'm going to ask for a motion and a second to open it.
Barbara Willebrand moves.
I'll make a motion to open the public hearing.
All right, so Barbara Willebrand moved, Claudette Beck seconded. So we'll vote right now. Carol Stanford, aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Mike Malloy?
Aye.
John Dort?
Aye.
Barbara Willebrand?
Aye.
So by unanimous decision, we are all voted to open the public hearing. And the public hearing is now, well, I'm going to read the first part first. I'm sorry. The board will hold a public hearing to solicit the recommendations and comments of members of the public regarding the budget overview for parents and the local control accountability plan, the LCAP, for the 22-23 school year. The public hearing is now open at 2:27. The board has allotted 15 minutes for this public hearing. Members of the public shall have 3 minutes each to address the board during this hearing. The board may extend this time upon majority vote. The board will first hear a presentation from Lindsay Reese, Area Superintendent.
Perfect, thank you. Please see pages 100 to 179 of your board packet. The budget overview for parents includes information on the local control funding formula revenues, supplemental and concentration grants, and state funds. The budget overview for parents demonstrates to the public and parents that the school directed its funds in the 21-22 school year towards increasing or improving service and meeting the needs of our school community, while also providing increased services for high-need students, such as low-income students, English learners, and foster youth. On page 100, you will see the projected revenue chart, which explains the projected revenue for the school by each fund source. As mentioned before, this takes into account LCFF funds with both supplemental and concentration grants and local, state, and federal funds. The chart not only lists the amount from each funding source, but also the percentage of revenue for that source. The total revenue projected for San Diego Mission Academy is $2,486,050, of which $2,280,211 is local control funding formula. $189,589 is other state funds, $0 in local funds, and $16,250 in federal funds. Of the $2,280,211 in LCFS funds, $421,788 is generated based on enrollment of high-need students, which includes foster youth, English learners, and low-income students. On page 101, you will see a chart for the budgeted expenditures in the LCAP. San Diego Mission Academy plans to spend $2,358,555 for the 22-23 school year. Of that amount, $2,133,002 is tied to actions and services in the LCAP.
The 2223 LCAP begins on page 110 of your packet. The successes in the LCAP are a result of data analysis, input from our school community, and input from this school board. Successes for the 21-22 school year include NWA math quantile scores increased 125 points. That's significant. From 858 to 984. The attendance rate jumped 22.3% from 66.64% to 88.94%. That's just phenomenal. The dropout rate decreased 6.24% from 14.3 to 8.06. The success rate increased 7.6% from 8.4% to 92%. And credit completion increased 0.12 from 2.3 to 2.42. Identified needs for the 21-22 school year include a need to improve academic performance on state-mandated tests. 21% of students met or exceeded standards on the ELA CASP, and only 10% of students met or exceeded standards on the math CASP. Students in our special populations, such as EL learners, low-income foster youth, and students with disabilities, scored lower than this all-student group measure. So we have some work to do on state-mandated testing. Same thing with NWA reading. NWA reading went down from 1108 to 1085, so we need to figure out why it went down a little bit and hopefully get it back up for next school year. And finally, we need to work on improving our EL reclassification rate. The EL reclassification rate was 0% for SDMA. While we did see individual metrics on reclassification criteria improve, students did not meet all of the requirements necessary to reclassify. So I look forward to the team improving those numbers for this next school year. Educational partners include parents, classified and certificated staff, students and student advocates, caseworkers, and school partners. Educational partners were offered a variety of activities to engage with school leadership and shared decision-making, including past ELAC meetings, awards nights, quarterly parent-teacher conferences, classified and certificated staff meetings, surveys, weekly academic advisor meetings, virtual workshops, community events, teacher office hours, and PLC meetings. The impact of educational partner engagement included the following. Parents requested more post-secondary support. The funds were increased for Goal 2, Action 1. Certificated class and classified staff expressed the importance of attendance and retention, resulting in increased funds for Goal 3, Action 1. Students requested additional academic support, resulting in increased funds for Goal 1, Action 2. And students requested additional one-on-one social-emotional support. The funds were increased for Goal 1, Action 4. For a quick review, the following are the proposed goals for the 22-23 LCAP. Number one is to increase academic progress. This is a focus goal for increasing academic progress for all students, especially English language learners, low-income, and foster youth who struggled during the previous year. In the next 3 years, we will have mitigated the negative impact learning loss had on our students, and we will see improvement in NWA, EL reclassification, credit completion, and graduation rates. Number two is students will gain skills for college and career readiness. This is a broad goal for helping students gain skills for college and career readiness for all students, including low-income, English learners, and foster youth. Number three is to increase student retention. This is a maintenance goal for student retention. It's designed to continue the success we've had with addressing student disengagement from schooling and support their decision to either rematriculate or graduate from our program. We have a safe and positive school climate, which effectively encourages students to remain engaged in their schooling experience. And finally, goal number four is to increase educational partner engagement. This is a maintenance goal for increasing engagement. We believe in parent participation along with students' academic progress, and we believe parents should be encouraged to participate in meaningful ways to promote positive school outcomes. We worked with the finance team to allocate funds to support these goals and actions. A breakdown of the budgeted items is available in your board packets starting on page 149 through 151. We are excited to launch into the new year as we continue to focus on these goals and metrics to improve the quality of the education that our school offers. I would like to take this opportunity to ask for any questions or comments the board or public may have on the budget overview for parents and the LCAP for the 22-23 school year. Thank you.
Thank you, Lindsay. Any questions or comments from the board? There was some impressive numbers on there and also some needs for improvement, but I think that will come because we're coming out of this pandemic. All right, anybody else? All right, the board will now solicit recommendations and comments from members of the public on the budget overview for parents and the local control accountability plan, the LCAP, for the 22-23 school year. Are there any comments of the public on the conference line who wish to offer comment? And Shelley, are there any members of the public who submitted written comment to the board?
Hi, this is Shelley Sands from the Charter Affairs team here to report that there were no members of the public who submitted written comment or have requested to speak.
All right, thank you. So now we need a motion and a second to close this public hearing.
Barbara Willebrand moves.
Claudette Beck second.
Barbara Willebrand moves. Claudette Beck is second. It will vote. Carol Stanford, aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Mike Malloy?
Aye.
John Dortch?
Aye.
Barbara Willebrand?
Aye.
So our roll call vote was unanimous to close the meeting, and the public hearing is now closed at 2:35 p.m. All right. So now we're on six action items. The board will be asked to confirm its acknowledgement that Carol Stanford, Claudette Beck, Mike Malloy, John Dortch, Barbara Willebrand have been reappointed as members of the Board of Directors by Educational Advancement Corporation, the sole member of the Alta Vista Public Charter, Inc. for the term July 1st, 2022 through June 30th, 2023. Thank you for asking us to come back for another year. Are there any comments or questions? And if not, can I have a motion and a second to approve 6A?
Michael, I'll make a motion.
Barbara Willebrand, second.
Mike Malloy is motion. Barbara Willebrand has seconded. We'll vote. Carol Stanford, aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Mike Malloy?
Aye.
John Dortch?
Aye.
Barbara Willebrand?
Aye.
So thank you. We have been reappointed for another year. This is 6A, unanimously. The board will be asked, B, to approve the amended conflict of interest code. This is Jeff Martin now.
Thank you, President Stanford and board members. In your board packets, you will find the Fair Political Practices Commission, or FPPC, approved amended conflict of interest code for Alta Vista Public Charter, Inc., which operates San Diego Mission Academy. This is the same conflict of interest code that I provided updates on to the board earlier in the year. As a reminder, the FPPC is the state agency which oversees Form 700s and ensures that officials are making decisions in the best interest of the public. In addition, because Alta Vista Public Charter Incorporated has jurisdiction of office in multiple counties, the FPPC directly oversees the conflict of interest code. At this time, it is recommended the board approve the amended Alta Vista Public Charter Incorporated conflict of interest code. Please let me know if you have any questions.
All right. Any questions? All right. We appreciate all the help we get with the 700 forms. That's great. I need a motion and a second to approve B, 6B.
John Dortch moved to approve.
Barbara Willebrand second.
John Dortch has moved. Barbara Willebrand has seconded. We'll vote. Carol Stanford, aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Mike Malloy?
Aye.
John Dortch?
Aye.
And Barbara Willebrand?
Aye.
6B has been approved unanimously. We're on to 6C. The board will be asked to reauthorize the corporate officers and seniors administrators to make all reasonable and necessary business arrangements and enter into all reasonable and necessary transactions, included but not limited to contracts with vendors, employees, consultants, and others. Are there any questions or comments on this? We've done this before. We do it yearly. Any questions? If not, can I have a motion and a second to approve 6C?
Barbara Willebrand move.
Mike Boyle, second.
All right, so I've got Barbara Willebrand moving, and I had Claudette Beck seconding. Sorry. So, all right, so we'll vote. Carol Stanford, aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Mike Malloy?
Aye.
John Dortch?
Aye.
Barbara Willebrand?
Aye.
So 6C has been approved unanimously. We're down to 6D. The board will be asked to reauthorize the corporate officers to award discretionary incentives to employees at various sundry times. Any comments or questions on this? And if not, can I have a motion and a second to approve 6D?
Barbara Willebrand move.
Claudette Beck second.
Will Brown's move. Claudette Beck is seconded. We'll vote. Carol Stanford, aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Mike Malloy?
Aye.
John Dortch?
Aye.
Robert Willebrand?
Aye.
6D has been approved unanimously. Now we're on 6E. The board will be asked to approve the local control funding formula for LCFF for school year 22-23, which drives the primary source of funding for the charter schools. Gita.
Hello, board. This is Gita with LLAC. So the local control funding formula, or the LCFF, is the primary source of funding for the school. This funding has two primary components, a base rate that applies to all schools that depends exclusively on ADA by grade span, and a supplemental and concentration component that depends on the percentage of schools' English learners, foster youth, or low-income students. The LCFF calculation is the largest source of unrestricted revenue for the school, and it is essential to the budget and the LCAP development. For fiscal year 22-23, the LCFF funding formula will provide a total of $2,280,211 of revenue. This total includes a base funding of $1,858,423, or 81.5% of the total LCFF funding, and also a supplemental and concentration funding of $421,788, or 18.5% of the total LCFF funding. This concludes my report on LCFF funding. If there's any questions, I'll be happy to report. Thank you.
Thank you, Gita. Any questions? All right, let's have a motion and a second to approve 6E.
John Dortch, move.
Barbara Willebrand, second.
John Dortch has moved. Barbara Willebrand, seconded. We'll vote. Carol Stanford, aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Mike Malloy?
Aye.
John Dortch?
Aye.
Barbara Willebrand?
Aye.
So 6E has been approved unanimously. So now we're on F. The board will be asked to approve the Education Protection Account, the EPA, spending determinations. Gita.
Hello, board. So the EPA funding is a component of the school's LCFF entitlement. As shown on the budget report, actually, I will report on that on the budget, LCFF sources. That's where it's located on section page 2 of the Form 62, and it's coded as Object 8012. For current fiscal year, the school will receive EPA revenue of $32,846. For next fiscal year, 22-23, the estimated EPA revenue is based on the latest LCFF calculator, which is calculated at $35,024. This funding must be used only for instructional purposes and must be posted on the school's website on an annual basis, which it is posted on the school's website. If there's any questions on the EPA, I would be happy to respond. Thank you.
Thank you, Gita. Any questions, comments? If not, can I have a motion and a second to approve 6F?
Barbara Willebrand, move.
Claudette Beck, second.
Barbara Willebrand is moved. Claudette Beck is seconded. We'll vote. Carol Stanford, aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Mike Malloy?
Aye.
John Dortch?
Aye.
Barbara Willebrand?
Aye.
6F has been approved unanimously. 6G, the board will be asked to approve the budget for the 22-23 fiscal year. Gita.
Hello, board, again. So you can find the full template on the budget on your PDF packet, pages 90-98. And the preparation of the school budget is based on the funding information from the governor's May revision to the state budget and will be adjusted in the future if there are any changes to the budget when it is signed in June of 2022 or in subsequent revisions during the summer. The funding projection for next fiscal year includes a COLA of 6.56% to the LCFF funding rate compared to the prior year. This is the highest COLA we have seen since inception of the LCFF funding formula. There are additional $2.1 billion included in the state budget that will be allocated to the base rate of the LCFF formula. However, there is no clarity on how this will look like or how it will impact the funding for the school. So it is not included in the development of the budget at this moment. The main revision to the state budget also includes $8 billion for one-time discretionary grants. However, again, there is no detail on what these grants will look like at this time, and therefore this potential additional funding will be added to the school's budget in the future revision. This year, fiscal year 2022-23 on the budget, you'll see an appearance that is slightly different from the prior reports because California Department of Education has implemented a new web-based application to report the school financial reporting. So the sections of the report look the same. It's just that the numbering on the reports are not the same as the prior reports. If you refer to the last page of the budget report, there is a section that is the ADA information. On this report, you can see the actual funding ADA for the current year, which reflects 164 ADA, also projected ADA of 175 for next fiscal year, 22-23. The school is projecting an ADA increase of 11, which will have a positive effect in most ADA-based funding sources. Now, if you refer to the revenue section, which is at the beginning of the report, on Form 62, the school is budgeting for next fiscal year $2.4 million. This shows an increase of 10% compared to the current year. This is due to different factors. When we look at the LCFF sources, it is projected to increase from $2 million this year to $2.2 million next year. This is due to a combination of different sources. One is the increase in LCFF funding rate of the COLA that I explained previously for 6.56% and an increase in projected ADA, showing a total increase of 13.3% in the LCFF funds. Federal funding is budgeted at $116,000. This shows a substantial decrease of 95% compared to the current year, and this is due to the absence of one-time revenue from PPP loan forgiveness that school received this year and will not repeat next fiscal year. The school budgeted other state revenue of $189,000. This shows a decrease of 52% from current fiscal year, and it is due to combination of factors, including the absence of one-time funding from Educator Effectiveness Block Grant and A2G grant that the school received this year and will not receive in 22-23. This reduction was somehow offset by an increase in SPED funding due to the projected increase in ADA and an increase on the funding rate for the SPED from $715 per ADA to $820 per ADA. Lastly, the school is not projecting local revenue at this time. Therefore, there's a difference and a reduction you see on the report. On the expense side, the school is budgeting total expenditure of $2.3 million. The budget includes a decrease in salaries and benefits of 9%. This reduction comes from small decrease in budgeted teachers and certificated support and administrative spending. Purchase spending is budgeted at $117,000, showing an increase of 21% compared to the current fiscal year. This comes primarily from an increase in school materials and supplies. Budget for total operating expenses is $639,000, showing an increase of 11% compared to current fiscal year. The increase comes from an increase in budgeted spending in training and communication. The school is budgeting for an excess revenue of $127,000 for fiscal year 22-23, with the excess revenue and the current year end projected net position, you can see on the screen, of negative $29,000. The school will end up fiscal year 22-23 with a projected net position of $97,000, which is about 4% of the total budgeted expenditures. Of this ending balance, $126,681 will be restricted as reserved funds and will be spent in subsequent years following the program and spending plans for the Educator Block Grant as well as the A2G Grant. And this concludes my report for the budget for 2022-23. If there are any questions, I'll be happy to respond. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Gita. This is Board President Stanford. Anybody else have comments? All right, then we need a motion and a second to approve 6G.
Barbara Willebrand, move.
Okay, second.
Barbara Willebrand is moved. Claudette Beck is second. It will vote. Carol Stanford, aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Mike Malloy?
Aye.
John Dortch?
Aye.
Barbara Willebrand?
Aye.
So 6G has been approved unanimously. We're on to 6H. The board will be asked to approve the budget overview for parents and the local control accountability plan, the LCAP, for the 22-23 school year. And this is Lindsay.
Yep, so if there's no further questions from the information I presented at the public hearing, I would like to ask the board to approve the budget overview for parents and the local control and accountability plan.
All right, if there's no questions, can I have a motion and a second to approve 6H?
Mike, I'll make the motion. Sanders, second.
All right. Thank you, gentlemen. Mike Malloy is moved. John Dorsch is seconded. We'll vote. Carol Stanford, aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Mike Malloy?
Aye.
John Dorsch?
Aye.
Barbara Willebrand?
Aye.
So it's by unanimous decision, 6H has been approved. We are now on 6I. The board will be asked to approve the consolidated application process and submission for all reports required for the 22-23 school year. Lindsay.
Thank you. The consolidated application, otherwise known as the CONAP, is used by the CDE to distribute categorical funds from various federal programs to county offices, school districts, and direct funded charter schools throughout California. Annually, each local education agency uses the consolidated application and reporting system, submits the spring release of the CONAP, and documents participation in these programs, provides assurances that the LEA will comply with the legal requirements of each program. Program entitlements are determined by formulas contained in the laws that created the programs. This year, the CDE delayed the opening of the 22-23 CONAP reporting until July 1st, with a deadline of approximately 6 weeks after the opening. The school will file on time once the reporting system has been released by the CDE. We are recommending that the board approve the CONAP process and submission for all reports required for the 22-23 school year. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Lindsay. Any questions on that, on CONAP? All right, I have a motion and a second to approve 6I.
Barbara Willebrand, move.
Claudette Beck, second.
So Barbara Willebrand has moved. Claudette Beck has seconded. So we'll vote. Carol Stanford, aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Mike Malloy?
Aye.
John Dortch?
Aye.
And Barbara Willebrand?
Aye.
So 6I has been approved unanimously. We're on to 6J. The board will be asked to renew a revolving line of credit, RLOC, for Hamney Bank for the 22-23 school year as needed to maintain adequate cash flow pursuant to the RLOC provisions. Gita.
Thank you, board. So in prior years, the school has had the opportunity to obtain financing through Hamney Bank, which is the school's bank, that offers a line of credit at a very competitive interest rate. This request has been approved by the board annually since fiscal year 18-19, and for next fiscal year, 22-23, the school is requesting the approval of $1 million of standard line of credit from Hamney Bank. The interest rate is the highest of 3.75% or prime rate plus 0.5%. Currently, the highest of the two is the prime rate, which is at 4%, plus 0.5%, setting the rate at 4.5%. So this concludes my request for requesting a loan for the school, a line of credit, from Hamney Bank. Thank you so much. If there's any questions, I'll be happy to respond.
Thank you, Gita. Any questions? If not, a motion and a second, please, for 6J.
John Dorch, move.
Barbara Willebrand second.
John George has moved. Barbara Willebrand has seconded. We'll vote Carol Stanford, aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Mike Malloy?
Aye.
John George?
Aye.
Barbara Willebrand?
Aye.
So it's unanimous that 6J has been approved. We're on 6K. The board will be asked to approve obtaining a loan from LLAC during the 22-23 fiscal year as needed to maintain adequate cash flow pursuant to promissory notes provisions with applicable interest. Gita.
Thank you, Board President. So you can find this template, you can see on the screen as well, the promissory note on pages 186 to 189 of your PDF packet. This is another short-term financing alternative that the school uses to meet short-term cash needs. It is a low-interest alternative and allows the school to access additional funds if other financing sources are not available or more expensive or not sufficient, and helps the school to keep the financing costs low. The amount approved for the promissory note between the school and LLAC will be the maximum borrowing during the fiscal year. For fiscal year 22-23, the school is requesting approval to borrow up to $500,000 from LLAC if needed. The interest rate is fixed at 4% for the full fiscal year July 1, 2022 through June 30, 2023. So that concludes my request for the board for approval for this alternative financing for the school. If there's any questions, I'll be happy to respond. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Peter. Any questions? If not, can I have a motion and a second to approve this case?
Barbara Willebrand moved.
Claudette
Beck second. Barbara Willebrand moved. Claudette Beck is seconded. We'll vote. Carol Stanford, aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Mike Malloy?
Aye.
John George?
Aye.
Barbara Willebrand?
Aye.
The 6K has been approved unanimously. It takes us to 7, additional corporate officers and board members' observations and comments. And we're going to go observations and comments, which is A, Mr. Brown.
Thank you so much, President Stanford. I want to congratulate Superintendent Lindsay for her reports, continuous good reports, strong reports, making it clear and concise so that we can follow the whole program, the LCAPS and all of those other areas that are so responsible for us to understand and get. Jenna, increasing enrollment, that's always wonderful. I really enjoyed the story of the soon-to-be mom. You stepped out of the box and get her graduation while she's with child. That's pretty cool. I think that was a good moment. I appreciate the aggressive way you're fighting to keep that program going and making it strong for the future. I'd like to take a moment now to thank the board for taking the responsibility for another year at least. It's a thankless job in one way. We just see you here at these board meetings and you're controlling our activities, and that's wonderful, but it's a lot of work. It's a lot of work. You get all this information, you have to digest it, you read all of this stuff, it takes a lot of your time. And considering that you're not paid for this, you don't have a salary, it's really delightful to see that you all care so much about this program and these students. And I'm so happy to work with you guys. So thank you so much. And back to you, Madam President. Thank you, Board.
All right. Thank you so much, Mr. Brown. Jerry, Vincent.
Thank you, President Stanford. I want to say thank you to Lindsay and Jenna for their proper, respectful relationship with the authorizer. That is so very important. Thank you for establishing that for all of us. This is our last meeting of the year. It's a big one. Lots of work done here. Thank you for all the work. But I want to give a shout out to Gita and her team, the expert advisors, lots of budget work, Lindsay, Jenna, the budget work, lots of work. Thank thank you for all of the effort. And also, congratulations to the board for your reappointment. Yay, we're delighted for that one. That makes everybody happy. And then a quick shout out, end of the year, to the teams, Charter Affairs and Charter Relations, because without them, we couldn't make this happen at all. So grateful. Thank you, everyone.
I agree with everything Jerry said. Thank you to all of you. It's been a great year. Next year is going to be even better. So excited. Thanks for all your support.
Oh, that's wonderful. Anybody else?
I just want to say also, Jenna, and you guys, both of you are just, Julie, you guys have done such a marvelous job this year. I mean, you've really come up, and boy, the math, I applaud you. That's very, very good. I mean, and keeping everything up, thank you so much.
This is Board President Stanford. Just all around, everybody is supporting everybody in this. We just appreciate it so much. Thank you all. From the very beginning to the FedEx guy that drops it off in the driveway. I mean, this is a team effort. It really is. Thank you. Anybody else? All right. Our next regular board meeting is July 19th, 2022, 11:30. And right now, I need a motion and a second to adjourn this meeting.
Mike Maloney makes the motion.
Barbara Willebrand, second.
Thank you, Mike Maloney, for motioning. And Barbara Willebrand, for seconding. We'll vote. Carol Stanford, aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Mike Maloney?
Aye.
John George?
Aye.
And Barbara Willebrand?
Aye.
So this meeting is adjourned. Everyone have a wonderful day. Thank you so much.
Everybody have a good week.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye. 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 Bye.